الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافي مزيده. يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، انت كما اثنيت على نفسك. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله، خير نبي أرسله الله إلى العالم كله بشيرًا ونذيرًا. اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة وسلامًا دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين. وأوصيكم أيها المسلمون ونفسي المذنبة بتقوى الله تعالى، وأحبكم على طاعته وأنهاكم عن مخالفته. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، dear brothers, dear sisters, today's talk is about hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is actually a story, and it's related to a young boy, a young man that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught. And this young man grew up to become one of the great Sahaba. And he became known as the Mufassir of the Quran. And his name, as you, most of us would know, is Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum, the son of Al-Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this story happens when Abdullah ibn Abbas was about maybe 6, 7, 8 years old. He was a very young boy. He didn't go to school. Today we live in unusual circumstances, and some of us are homeschooling our kids. Some of us are taking care of our kids at home and are teaching them at home. This young boy, this young man, Abdullah ibn Abbas, was very young. He did not go to school. There was no school. He was taught by his parents. He was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam described himself as innama bu'istu mu'allima. I was sent but a teacher. He came to teach us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Teach us everything that will benefit us in this world and the next. Abdullah ibn Abbas did not go to school. But as a young man, he made his own project. And he went on and executed his project. The event is related in Bukhari that one time Abdullah ibn Abbas says, Bittu inda khalati Maymun. He said, one night I had a sleepover at the house of my maternal aunt, As-Sayyida Maymuna. As-Sayyida Maymuna is one of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Bittu inda khalati Maymun. Now it was the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam that after praying Isha, he would go towards his home, which is attached to the mosque. So after Isha, the Prophet ﷺ came. And he came to his house, to his house. And his house is not like a five-star hotel, and it's not like three bedrooms. It's just one small room where you can barely fit in a mattress. And if you were to sleep on the mattress, it could barely fit in one person. Now, in this evening, we're going to have Sayyida Maymuna, her husband, the Prophet ﷺ, and a young boy that's trying to sleep there. The Prophet ﷺ came to the room and he saw Abdullah ibn Abbas. And after a while, he told Sayyida Maymuna, "Nana al-Ghulayya, is the boy sleeping?" And she said, "Yes." So he lies down for a little while, and then he stood up for the night prayer. As soon as he stood up, Abdullah ibn Abbas says, "Taqimtu an yasari." I stood up to his left, because the room is so small, he could not maneuver to stand properly beside the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah ibn Abbas, narrated that he took me to his wife. He took me, he advanced a little bit, and took me to his wife. And then he prayed. And then after he prayed, he went to sleep. And then in the morning, he woke up. And then it was the habit of Bilal radiallahu anhu that he would come to the Prophet's door and would knock on the door with his finger. A very faint knock. To inform the Prophet ﷺ that Fajr prayer or Subh prayer is about to take place. Then the Prophet ﷺ would leave his room, his house, and go to the minbar, go to the mihrab, and start leading the prayer. This is the event that was narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. It looks like a very simple event. But behind this event, there is a story. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he wanted, his project is, how do I observe the Prophet ﷺ at night? What does he do at night? What does he do after he goes home? Does he read Quran? Does he pray? How does he pray? Abdullah ibn Abbas had this project in mind. And he wanted to find out. He could have asked the Prophet ﷺ. He could have asked him, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, how do you spend the night?" He could have asked his maternal aunt, Sayyida Maymuna. He could have asked her, "What does the Prophet ﷺ do at night?" He could have asked any of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. But no. He wanted to verify himself. He wanted to be first-hand witness to what's going on. If you can see everything for yourself, why would you ask somebody else? And observing it yourself gives it a new meaning. It's a different meaning. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, that's his project. Now imagine, the Prophet ﷺ used to spend every night in a different home, spending equal time with his wife, spending equal time with the community, with the companion, spending equal time with many people, trying to accommodate as many people as he can, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, in order, it just happens that he asked Sayyida Maymuna, "Could I sleep tonight in your house?" How convenient. It just happened that he picked the night where the Prophet ﷺ is going to spend his night there. Abdullah ibn Abbas went on and did research. He conducted research and collected data. This night he is with Sayyida Aisha. This night he is with Sayyida Maymuna. This night he is with Sayyida Zainab. After collecting the data, and finding a pattern, he finds it. That tonight is going to be the Sayyidah Maymunah, my maternal aunt. So he went to her and told her, my aunt, I'd like to speak to my, I'd like to stay with my cousin. She said, well, the Prophet ﷺ is coming tonight. He said, so what? I want to sleep tonight in your house. Then she said, okay, fine, come and sleep the night in our house. The Prophet ﷺ, when after finishing his Isha prayer and going to the room, he saw Abdullah ibn Abbas. Now imagine, Abdullah ibn Abbas wanted to observe the Prophet ﷺ at night. What does he do at night? So in order to do this, he made his research, he collected his data, and then he made a plan. And then he executed the plan to the minute details. He wants to observe the Prophet at night. So what did he do? He made wudu. He was ready with wudu. Abdullah ibn Abbas was ready with wudu. The Prophet ﷺ slept, and as Sayyidina Maymunah slept, and Abdullah ibn Abbas slept sideways, because they could not all fit on the same mattress. He slept in a perpendicular way to the Prophet ﷺ and Sayyidina Maymunah. But he was not sleeping. His eyes were wide open. They're closed, but he's awake. He's waiting. As soon as the Prophet ﷺ, after sleeping some time, as soon as he woke up and performed wudu, Abdullah ibn Abbas stood up. The Prophet ﷺ started the praying. He immediately stood beside him. He was ready. He was ready. He made his research, he made his plan, he made his wudu, he made sure that he's going to be awake, which could have meant that maybe he slept, he took a nap in the afternoon to make sure that he could stay awake at night. He stood on his left, the Prophet ﷺ pulled him to his right. And then he prayed behind the Prophet ﷺ and observed. And in the morning, he observed what he did, in his house, and the way Bilal would come and knock on his door with his finger. And then he observed how the Prophet ﷺ would lead the social prayer, the Fajr prayer. This is Abdullah ibn Abbas. No teacher told him, this is your project for the months, or this is your project for the semester. He came up with his own project. And he came up with his own plan. And he conducted his own, without any error in the plan. The Prophet ﷺ prayed for him. And he said, Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen wa'allimhu al-ta'weel. O Allah, grant him deep understanding of the religion and teach him and educate him and give him the ability to interpret the Quran. Abdullah ibn Abbas grew to become one of the greatest professors and greatest companions. Radiallahu anhu and on all the companions. These events and these stories are scattered in the books of Sunnah, in the books of Hadith. There are many stories regarding the young companions and what they did and how smart they were and how alert and how attentive in a way that one would think, how is it that today we have what we might call a gap between parents and children? Or there's an age gap. My parents don't understand me. I don't understand them. How is it that these young companions didn't feel that? And in many of the events and the stories that are scattered in the books of Sunnah, one can see why that was not the case. But somehow this gap will resolve organically, automatically. Through the teaching and through the way the parents dealt with the children and the children dealt with the parents. This is but a small story, and inshallah it will help us, encourage us to do further research and to find out more of how we can live as a community, as a family, and how we can live with people who are older and wiser than us, and people who are younger and smarter than us. Maybe smarter and more clever. And they can find their ways, and they're looking for guidance. And we also can benefit from them, as well as they can benefit from us. أقول يا ذا القول يا استغفر الله استغفر الله. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم كلما تمتعت عين بنظر ورأت أذن بخبر عباد الله اتقوا الله فيما أمر وانتهوا عما نهى عنه وزجر وأخرجوا حب الدنيا من قلوبكم فإنه إذا استولى أثر واعلموا أن الله عز وجل أمركم بأمر عميم بدأ فيه بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه فقال عز من قائل علينا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين ورضي الله عن السادة الخلفاء الصحابة النجباء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة والقرابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي يا مولانا كلمة الإيمان والحق والدين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير ومن أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين غير ذلك فخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر تولى المسلمين في هذه البلدة وسائر بلاد الإسلام بعين عنايته وبأتم رعايته وأبدل عسرنا يا مولانا يسرا عاجلا غير آجل يا رب العالمين وفرج الكرب عن المكروبين ونفس الهم عن المهمومين وردنا إلى دينك ردا جميلا كريما يا أكرم الأكرمين اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا مولانا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقم الصلاة.